There are a couple different points that I believe the first reading makes, and first of all, we have to start off with presumptions. So the first presumption that we can gather from this reading is that it is possible for the righteous to intercede with God and influence his divine will. Secondly, God is fundamentally just. Justice includes not only mercy, but we know there can be consequences even for the wicked. And then thirdly, if there is a conflict of the claims of justice and mercy, God prefers mercy. Now, there's been some recent discoveries that have uncovered evidence of the two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know later on, after this selection from Genesis this morning, as you read on, that Sodom and Gomorrah were eventually destroyed. And Abraham, as we find out, was probably interceding with God on behalf of his nephew Lot, who he tried to get out of the city before its destruction. So we can try to catch ourselves in that idea of looking for historical proof in the Bible of what happened to those cities. But maybe more importantly, what the biblical worldview usually shares with us is that the traumatic events that we see or that we hear about seem to be the work of God's providence. And Jesus has said in the Gospels that people who die in natural disasters are not necessarily more wicked than those who survive. And we can catch ourselves sometimes asking questions on why this happened or why that happened. And that may not necessarily be so bad. Seeking to understand this life through the lens of God is a journey in prayer and trust. Trusting that my way of seeing things can only go so far. God's ways of justice and mercy are way beyond my vision or scope. The bigger picture sometimes is not always easy to grasp. A hope-filled worldview refuses to give in to the apparent dominance of evil that we see splashed all over throughout the world. And that sense of hope must carry us through. Because if we just see the cross without the knowledge of the resurrection, it might be easier to fall into despair. And the cross is truly a point of focus, but never without faith in the victory of Jesus' triumph over death and sin. In the response psalm today, it seems to reflect that to a certain degree. It calls to mind God's mercy in answering prayer. And there's a line in the last part of that psalm that maybe you heard today, "Forsake not the work of your hands." And of course, the psalms are believed to have been composed, several of them, by King David. And so although King David was saved by God from dangers in the past, he continues to cry to God in the face of new threats. And isn't that discipleship? We constantly cry out to God. We look to the past, we see God's provision for us, how he's helped us on so many occasions, and yet the threats that continue to cloud the horizon sometimes test our faith moving forward in the spiritual life. And then in the second reading, we see the mercy of God at work, even as it was in the first reading in Genesis. Our merciful God works to bring us life, not because we earned it or through any merits of our own, but simply because God is mercy. So God shows mercy on the sinners, you and I, because God leans to the side of mercy when it may seem like mercy and justice oppose. And in the gospel, the passage starts out with what sounds like a brief version of the Lord's Prayer. This is Luke's version. We're more familiar with the version that's found in Matthew, but here Luke seems to have an abbreviated version of the same prayer. And when you look at the prayer and then put it in context with the rest of the passage that we hear today, what we seem to gather is that Jesus is teaching that we need to be persistent in prayer, trusting in God's generosity. So why doesn't God give us everything we want or need without our asking? So two extremes. On one hand, you could give everything to your children as they ask, but what happens? Sometimes you see the children have a sense of entitlement. Sometimes you see a spoiled child doing whatever they want, whenever they want. Or the other extreme, you could say no all the time to them, which could cause them to be estranged from you. Perhaps there's a middle ground here and a larger view that prayer is about. And I believe that is dialogue. What we want is dialogue. We want conversation with God, and that's what God wants with us. And that dialogue is probably just as important as the actual prayer itself. And in that dialogue that we have with God, and that as parents we can have with our children, that's where a relationship is formed, where God wants us to participate in God's providential guidance of the universe. And God is like that good parent who encourages us to make our needs and desires known, and at the same time, always trusting and knowing that God wants what is best for us. And that takes a lot of humility on our part. And the best gift that God provides is the gift of Himself through the Holy Spirit. It takes a lifetime journey to recognize that for most all of us. We have reminders of that gift through the sacraments. Mercy and justice are at work in our lives, always in tension, and we are privileged to participate in that. Today in the church, we have the beginning of Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, and in her teachings, the church preserves and proclaims God's beautiful design for married love. And according to this design, married love involves a total mutual gift of self between a man and a woman. And the totality of this gift means that their love needs to be free, total, faithful, and fruitful. Married couples humble themselves to live according to God's truth. Husband and wife have nothing to fear. They can have the confidence that whatever effort is required to live according to the truth, God will make it worthwhile. God calls husband and wife to live in a manner that is worthy of their call as spouses who are married in the Lord, relying on the Holy Spirit to live as children of the Father. And that is a call that takes a tremendous amount of grace, as those of us who are married can testify. And if my wife were here to say anything, she would say it would take grace beyond grace. As couples seek to follow the Lord and His plan for their love, Christian spouses can be confident in knowing that the God of justice and mercy will answer when they call upon God for help. And that is what ties it together with these readings. In justice and mercy, we live that out in our relationships with our spouses. If married couples follow God's plan for their love, they have no reason to doubt that God will reward them with abundant gifts, the greatest of which is the joy that only the Holy Spirit can provide.